Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Neurofeedback, a type of training using a computer program for children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, can contribute to lasting improvements for these children, according to a study in the March issue of Pediatrics. My guest is Dr. Andrew Addisman. He's the Chief of Development and Behavioral Pediatrics at the Stephen Alexander Cohn Children's Medical Center in New York. Welcome to the show, Dr. Addisman. Tell us about neurofeedback and how ADHD students can train their brains.
Well, neurofeedback is a treatment that's been around for several decades, although it's had a hard time sort of establishing itself as either a mainstream or sort of a validated treatment. There's been a lot of controversy about it, but we've known for years that children with ADHD may have a somewhat different EEG profile than non-ADHD kids, and the goal with neurofeedback, which is basically biofeedback for the brain waves, is to try to teach kids to change their brainwave patterns based on sort of real-time feedback. There are many people who have been skeptical about this treatment, but there are certainly some studies that suggest it's helpful.
So what's involved in this type of treatment?
Well, the protocols can vary a little bit, but typically it's several sessions a week for as many as 40 sessions. So it's a fairly big time commitment, and it can also be somewhat expensive depending on who's paying for it. But basically, some wires are put onto the child's scalp in order to sort of detect brainwave patterns the same way you would do with an EEG, and then kids, in this case, are taught to change their brainwave patterns based on images they see on a, let's say, a video screen. And so what they've done is taken the brainwave patterns and sort of built it into, in a sense, a video game, so that by teaching kids, kids are learning to change their brainwave patterns in order to play the game, so to speak. And so it's through this sort of play format that kids are learning to change their brainwave patterns, and then the hope is that this would lead to some long-term benefits.
Well, so if kids are watching a video game or watching something on a video and they start to drift and think of other things, it sort of makes them come back into the moment and focus a little more. I mean, kids love video games, anything on video anyway, so is this something that they would tend to focus on? What are they watching?
Well, it can vary a little bit by, you know, which specific product, so to speak, that they're using. But let's say, for example, you know, one version might have a child, so to speak, flying an airplane. And then when the brain waves are the good brain waves, then the airplane's flying high. And when the brain waves sort of revert to old other patterns, then, you know, the plane can lower altitude and maybe run into problems in terms of crashing into things. So you sort of set a goal. That would be one example. So these are not just sort of passively watching the games, but the child is sort of, you know, trying to be actively engaged, concentrating on the game, and in the process of that concentrating, obviously, having what's supposed to be sort of the better brainwaves, which will then, you know, result in sort of success with the game. The challenge has been, there are two challenges here. One is, you know, can this be standardized so that, you know, a family pursuing this in one location is getting the same kind of treatment that, let's say, another family at another location is getting? And there's been a lot of variability. Although some, you know, commercial systems are out there that do provide standard treatments. And then the other has been showing, you know, whether or not the gains are real and sustained. And the article that just came out in the journal Pediatrics suggests that there are some sustained benefits from neurofeedback.
The children are able to actually sort of engage in the game with their brains. So they're using brain power to kind of control. That's fascinating, Dr. Addisman.
Well, it's an, you know, it's a interesting intervention. I think, you know, where the skeptics have raised concerns is when it comes to, you know, generalizability. In other words, if you teach a child to focus in one setting, will he then apply or utilize those same skills in another setting? In this study, there were both parent and some non-parent ratings to suggest that the benefits were sustained, so that's a good thing, and it suggests that there may indeed be some benefit. I think the cautionary note is that the magnitude of the gains were relatively modest. So when, for example, we look at different treatments for ADHD, you know, we know, for example, that medication, although it's controversial in many lights, is a very effective treatment. Neurofeedback may be half as effective. Things like fish oil may be a third as effective. So I think it's not just a matter of showing that a treatment can help, which is good, but also families have to do is, you know, decide or consider how much is any one treatment going to help.
Dr. Addisman, are there other complementary treatments for ADHD other than diet, which we'll talk about at another time, but are there other complementary besides the neurofeedback that are being investigated right now?
Well, another somewhat widely available training is something called, you know, working memory training or cognitive training. And interestingly, you know, cognitive training was also looked at in this most recent study that came out of Boston from Tufts University. And there they found that the cognitive training was not as helpful. So I think that there's a lot of questions, legitimate questions, as to the value of working memory training or cognitive training. And so that's one example of an alternative approach. On the more natural side, let's say, you know, exercise. You know, I think that there are studies out there that suggest that exercise can be helpful, particularly to kids with ADHD. Whether it's easy for families to do, whether it's going to be effective enough is another, you know, great question. But I think, you know, exercise is mom and apple pie, and that no one's against exercise for kids. There are some nutritional and dietary ones, which we'll save for another time. There are some, you know, other, you know, sort of more offbeat kinds of interventions, but I don't think that they're widely available or widely recommended. So, you know, I think the important thing is to focus on treatments that have, you know, an evidence base. And I think it's important to note that, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics in their guidelines for pediatricians, they actually, as of 2011, have a fairly dim view about interventions such as neurofeedback or cognitive training. And certainly cognitive training, the evidence continues to sort of be kind of grim. The neurofeedback, I think that's still an evolving story, and, you know, it's unclear, you know, where the American Academy of Pediatrics will go in the future about this, but certainly there are some mixed data, but some studies to suggest it's helpful.
We only have about a minute and a half left, Dr. Addisman, but speak about behavior therapy a little bit. What does that involve?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the two mainstream interventions are medication behavior therapy. Behavior therapy is typically counseling parents, not the child directly in terms of play therapy, but giving parents some very, very explicit guidance about how to bring out the best behavior in their children. It's, you know, providing some structured positive feedback, so kids are getting, you know, positive attention from their parents, not just getting yelled at or reprimanded. But then also, you know, when either structure and consequences are necessary, you know, making parents, you know, more effective as well. You know, the precepts, the basics of behavioral feedback is consistency, that parents are always sort of consistently giving the same message, and it's important between parents. And then you're also talking about not just consistency, but immediacy. So you need to have, you know, positive rewards or negative rewards that are happening pretty quickly following whatever good or bad behavior. And then lastly, relevance. You know, if you're offering a reward that doesn't have any meaning to a child, then likely that child's not going to be motivated or change his behavior based on that reward or that consequence.
Well, certainly these therapies are something for parents of children with ADHD to explore. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening, and stay well.